Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Oh God, that smells fantastic. God, we didn't drink Amroot at all this episode, we drank Texas whiskey. A couple months ago, I did an article with Texas Monthly that specifically asked me, host of ESPN 97.5's Whiskey Neat, what my favorite top five Texas whiskeys were. One of those whiskeys has not been on the show till now. I sat down with Brandon Choate of Lone Elm, who makes exclusively wheat whiskey, no corn. And the quote from the article was this: "This is what happens when you stop focusing on the word bourbon and only solely focus on making good whiskey." And that is what Lone Elm does. Their wheat whiskey is some of the best in the state. If not the best, arguably the best. So I'm very, 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 very happy to sit down with him. I'm also joined by Quad Heineken. I know that sounds like I just ordered four beers, but no. Quad is an HBS member, longtime friend of the show, of the group, big bourbon fan. Him and his wife, Mercy, are some of the best people I know. You know when you have those friends where you like him, but you don't like his wife, and you only want to hang out with him, but you don't want to hang out with them as a couple? That's the opposite of who these people are. Quad and his wife Mercy are just some of the most fantastic people in the hobby. So today I sit down with Quad. We drink through and do our second barrel selection for the show. We're going to do a barrel selection of Lone Elm whiskey with Quad and with Brandon. Talk through a little bit about the brand and what they're doing and how the woods changed and how they're growing up in barrels and all these things. A couple things. I would promote the dates for our friend Brendan Schaub. But instead, it's sold out. Sold out immediately. Everyone's dying to get out of the house. But at the end of this month, in 2 weeks, we'll be sitting down with Brendan Schaub, who is a friend of mine. I mean, we text each other, which is very surreal. Brendan Schaub and a longtime celebrity that I've followed him since his very beginning, his very start. I find Brian Callen to be just one of the most magnificent people on the planet. Calm, generous, reasonable. Brendan and Brian are just two of my favorite people that I love to watch. They have a fantastic podcast called The Fighter and the Kid. I'm sure you already know this. But they will both be coming to Houston on May 29th, May 30th, end of the month at the Houston Improv to make people laugh, and now's the time to do that. But they're going to stop in here. We're going to have them on the show. I'm going to taste them on a few things. I have a fun game I plan to play with Brendan and Brian, and I have some things in store. So without further ado, Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. Amroot crafts one of the most award-winning Indian single malts to the exact same standards of Scotch, and I am a fan. Amroot Fusion also received the double gold blind and scored a jaw-dropping 96 points by judges at the Proof Awards. Amroot single malt whiskey is widely available across America and can be found almost everywhere in Texas. You can still find the Porto Nova in places. You can still find the Cash Strength. That's a regular part of the line. And you can still find the Sherry, which were all limited time offerings except for the Cash Strength. Just fantastic bottles. 100% could not endorse them enough. Huge fan of Amroot. So Suck it, Paul John. Without further ado, Brandon Choate and Quad Heineken. Cheers. Guys, thanks so much for coming today. Brandon, how are we doing?
We're doing good.
We've had a long-term, couple years now, working relationship through the Whiskey Festival. I've been a big advocate for Lone Elm. I mean, I'm sure there are bigger ones out there, but I've definitely fell in love with what you guys are doing, especially as most notably mentioned in the Whiskey Advocate, or not Whiskey Advocate, but Texas Monthly article, in which I said that this is what happens when Texas whiskey stops focusing on the word bourbon and just focus on making good whiskey. Your wheat whiskey is, I'll say it again, I think the best whiskey coming out of the state. And it doesn't mean there's bad, doesn't mean that they're all bad. I love our friends over at Iron Root. I love Balcones, huge fans. But I am in love with your barrel-proof wheat whiskey. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
It was kind of kismet that this worked out. We actually had to skip last week's episode, which would have aired today. And we're filming today for next week. Quad, I'd shake your hand, but we can't. Yeah. Longtime fellow HBS member, friend. We've been going on a lot of these adventures together. Distillery visits, bottle shares. You and your wife, I think, are actually joining us for Scotland this year. That trip is still on.
Still on, yeah. I was going to ask.
And we're looking for houses just north of Edinburgh to accommodate the 12 of us. So
awesome.
It's gonna be a fun time. I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to sit down, dig a little deeper into your brand, what you guys are doing, how you're doing it. Because what's fascinating is for years, people would say all Texas distillers were using small barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong. I think Texas whiskey across the board has gotten progressively better, slowly solving that Rubik's Cube of making just fantastic spirits. But most of them have moved to much bigger barrels. Our friends over at Balcones are using 60-gallon wine barrels, massive, yeah. massive barrels. So you are still using small barrels and somehow figured it out the first try. I've been such a massive, massive fan of your wheat whiskey. I thought it would be great if you came on today and we actually did a barrel pick. We did it.
Sure.
I guess I should put some sort of breath in between my sentences. I'm just excited. So we had Pinhook on to do our first barrel select for the show. I thought it'd be fun if we did a barrel pick today for the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And our listeners can find your barrels actually yield very, very little, very few bottles. A low barrel of Four Roses, Good Golly Miss Molly, yielded only 70 bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Your barrels yield less than that.
Yeah.
So we're looking in that 50 bottle, maybe even less range.
I don't think so on these 2016s. And the reason that we yielded so low is because, I mean, you know, we had 5 and 6 year old whiskey. You know, I mean, those were 2013 and 2014.
So even less.
Yeah. I mean, they were yielding, you know, like, you know, 36 to 48 bottles, pretty
Jesus,
much. And
yeah.
But you know what? You saw them at the Houston Whiskey Social. You know, everywhere you went, they were deep, dark. You know, just like heavy whiskey, but it was being wheat. It's so light. You know, and we started off in 15s, just like you know a few of our other friends did. But that's because there was a run on barrels. You know, like look at all of us now. You know,
sure.
So we moved from 15s to 30s. Now we're at traditional 53s, and you know we haven't even cracked one of those yet.
You know, I think it's fascinating. One of the things that the whole premise of focusing on the word bourbon, the idea behind what I said in that article, was simply that new bourbon means new oak.
Mm-hmm.
And with it being so hot here and dealing with evaporation issues and the climate, it makes sense to me. The bigger the barrel, the more surface ratio,
right.
The better surface ratio for your liquid exposed to wood, touching wood. But that's fresh wood. It makes sense that the ideal whiskey that came out of this state may very well be eventually that we all use very, very large second use, third use barrels for full maturation. That may be the key to solving these really, really hot whiskeys. I don't know, but this is what's so fun about this hobby is being able to go along for the ride and to check in. And I mean, I made 3 trips to Balcones last year. I just got back this week from Balcones. We took an Elijah Craig barrel, filled it full of 53 gallons of honey for a couple of months, dumped the honey out. That's what we're going to be selling soon for Camp Hope.
Coming up, right?
coming up in about a week. And then we took the barrel that still had a couple gallons of honey, raw, unfiltered, local Houston honey floating around in it, and took it up to balconies to put single malt in. And it was just...
Oh, man. That sounds...
It was just insane. Yeah. It was just insane. So this hobby is expensive, time-consuming, but in the best possible way. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Quad, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
You brought, what, 6 samples? 8 samples?
8 samples.
All right, so let me finish. I brought a couple of Dusties here.
And I just popped these yesterday morning. So the amount of air that they've seen is from the barrel to this pretty much. And
sure.
I sealed them up. But, yeah, these are from New Oak barrels with number 3 char on them. You know, there's no colorings, additives, or GMOs. It's just, you know. I wanted to piggyback something, if you don't mind, on something you said about kind of like hot whiskey.
Sure.
You know, we have a little bit of hot whiskey. You know, I mean, we have like high, you know, high proof, high ethanol. But what's cool about, you know, being wheat, because, you know, we're a wheat distillery. We don't use any corn, yep. You know, as of right now. But being a wheat distillery, it's nice that wheat can, you know, tame the beast.
Well, I mean, traditionally speaking, right, rye is very spicy. Corn can be very aggressive. I've always associated like really hot corn heavy whiskeys as like a youthful bite, mm-hmm. You know, but wheat traditionally has
especially
always been
young.
Softer,
yeah,
right. So used barrels, a softer mash bill, right? It just seems like you found a way to balance out that beast,
yeah.
And I'm excited to try it. So if you
we don't have used barrels, we use new barrels.
New barrels every time.
Yeah,
wow.
Every time.
Yeah,
wow.
See, that's what I'm saying is like it's so fascinating. I can't quite just when you think. Some idiot behind a camera or in front of a camera thinks that he's got it figured out. This is the key to Texas whiskey. You taste something incredible, and you're like, I don't. This blows my mind. So, if you'll hand over a sample,
sure.
Me and Quad will start pouring. We'll start tasting.
And then a question that's been on my mind: how did you come about with the idea? Just I guess off the bat to do 100% wheat.
Well, so Bill Walford's our master distiller and president of Five Points Distilling. And, you know, he and his friends were doing the you know, Kentucky Bourbon Trail. And then they all went and sat by the lake and did a lot of drinking and lying. And Bill's just, you know, he's too smart for his own good. He held up, you know, a glass of Pappy and said, I can do better than this. And, you know, one of his college roommates put a check down and then a distillery was built, and he wanted to do all wheat, and you know, so that's where that came from. And you know, now we do a 90% Texas red winter wheat. You know, it's a soft wheat too, and then 10% malted barley just for the yeast
say,
and
is
enzymes.
That 10% malted
this
barley.
Point, yeah, and that barley is just for the yeast and enzymes.
All right, so while we're tasting, feel free to pontificate, but give us a little backstory about the distillery a little bit. I know you kind of went into it now, but talk to us about your process. Talk to us about what you're doing, and I'm gonna do
sure.
The easy stuff over here.
Yeah. So you know, like I said earlier, we're a you know straight wheat distillery, and you know we have two baseline products and our single barrel. We started off doing a wheat vodka, and it's just Lone Elm vodka. Sometimes you'll see it, sometimes you won't see it in the store. I believe Total Wine has it, but it's a skinnier bottle. But
to interrupt, that's the Poison Girl pick.
Okay. Yeah, I figured what I'd do is I'd smell it next to a current pick.
Oh yeah.
And then that way we'd kind of get a baseline going.
And then our small batch is hand selected single barrels by Bill that we put together in a 250 gallon mash pretty much, and you know proof it down to a 90 proof, chill haze filter it, and then we bottle. And we only chill haze filter on the small, just so it won't cloud up. You know when you put ice
sure.
to it. You know, people have asked us, why don't you just go 92 proof? Well, you know, they want to use
94.
The,
depending on the spirit, it kind of bounces.
And I tell you why, because they want to use the equipment they bought. You know, I get it. They spent some money on some equipment, and they want to use it. But, you know, our pot still is a Copper Vendome 500-gallon pot still. You know, has a nice little onion on the top. We do have a gin basket. We have our botanicals. We just got those this past week to start doing some gin. We're going to do a straight and antique it, so we look forward to that.
I know this is pretty common, but just to back up a second, the and for those wondering what we're referring to, chill filtration is quite common for years, and we've talked about it on the show. The average, just to speak frankly, the average consumer is ignorant as to what they're looking at on a shelf. that just means they just don't know any better. There's natural assumptions that are made. And when you chill filter something, they basically freeze it down to 0 degrees Celsius or 32 degrees Fahrenheit, get it nice and cold. All the oils in the spirit basically bond to each other and solidify. And then they filter out those oils and leave you with what's left. And what is left is a stripped spirit. And they say you can't tell the difference and that it doesn't affect taste, but many people will argue against it. So the way that you... when you water a spirit down to anything below 90 proof, 95 proof, right there in that range. Some say 90 proof, some say 94 proof. It varies. But when you water it down and bottle it at that low of proof, during cold months, especially in cold states, we don't really get cold months here in Texas. We get cold hours. It gets cloudy, right? And so people think something's wrong. If you're in a store and you're somewhere and you see your whiskey is no longer clear, people think that something's wrong and will throw it away or return it or complain or whatever the ignorant choice is. So if you have cask strength whiskey or anything above that point, it doesn't get cloudy. But if you're going to create a small batch item that is in that range, you want to go ahead and filter it out. One of the reasons why I so much love your 110 proof, your higher stuff, is you're getting the most out of, or you're getting the most base profile directly
right.
from the barrel.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that all cask, I get into an argument with this guy, Alex Coffin, quite a bit, friend of mine, about he's to that point in his journey that if it's not cask strength, he doesn't want it. He'd rather water it down. And I'll argue that a lot of people, even with the option, don't know how to or just don't. They get used to just drinking at cask strength. There are some, eventually you move past that point in your journey and you start appreciating lower proof stuff again. And that's what I advocate quite a bit on the show, especially what's in front of us now.
Well, you know, that's why I don't proof any of my samples that I, you know, take people, because I feel like they're just going to fall in love with a number, or, you know, like they know that it's 125 proof.
Yeah, we have no idea what proof these are, but we do know that they're straight from the barrel.
Straight from the barrel. Yep. I pulled them myself, and, you know, so these, and not only that, but these barrels that I pulled have just come of 4 years of age. So, like, there's, you know, February on. And I believe I just went, like, every 10 barrels or so and, you know, grabbed some from a different run. But, you know, in our whiskey, you know, like I said, 90%, you know, wheat, 10% malted barley, it has a lot of stone fruit to it, you know, like, you know, a lot of dark cherry.
Tons of tobacco in this one.
A lot of tobacco. There's spearmint hints to it here and there.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah.
A little bit of that.
There's also a little bit of star anise.
That was barrel 437. All right.
So, and some exciting news is that, you know, we did an interview with Spencer and his wife, Spencer Whelan of the Texas Whiskey Association.
To which you are a member of.
Yeah.
We're a founding member, yeah.
Yeah, founding member of that. I believe you had a little part of that. I think you had something to do with that.
What do you mean?
I think that was the first time we had met. You know, it was at Whiskeys of the World, and that's when that all came about.
Well, I gave Spencer a hard time. I knew that they had premiered it at Whiskeys of the World, and I was like, "What's up, man? Whiskeys of the World. Don't get me wrong, is an out of country company, right? IWSC is out. I mean, if we're all about Texas homegrown, why are you not launching this? And I love Whiskeys of the World, but launch this at my event.
Yeah, they had a good homegrown at HWS, but
yeah. Homegrown. I mean, launch it in HWS.
Yeah.
And he didn't, but he did premiere the announcement on the show.
Yeah.
And we did. We're also part of the reason we convinced Travis Whitmire to join.
Yeah.
Because he was really fighting that.
Well, on that little interview, Bill said that we had Ryan production, and we don't, but we're putting it into production this month. So we're starting to make it, and then we're going to age it. And, you know, Bill likes to – I think he's going to want to do a 2-year age on that rye.
Sure.
But
and these are all four, right?
Yeah. So all of our whiskeys right now on the market is anywhere from 2013, 2014, 2016 is just now coming out this year. So,
be honest with you, I didn't care for that first one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm digging 463 though. This last one, have you poured it yet? No, you have not poured it yet.
This one.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the first one we poured. And a lot more cherry in this. Yeah, yeah. That's so interesting about the single barrel thing. So and we talked about this off air, I believe, but what kind of yeast are you guys using?
We're just doing like a sour mash beer yeast.
Beer yeast, yeah. Boxed yeast.
You know what? Logan Miller, our lead distiller, would be the person to ask for that. You know,
and 15-gallon barrels?
Right now we're in 53s.
Oh, you moved up.
Yeah. Nice. Like I said, like we started in 15-gallon barrels, and we were there till like mid-2018, and then that's when we started.
So these are all 53-gallon barrels?
These are all 15s.
15, yeah, so they're the last ones.
Yeah, because we started doing 53s in 2018, and so – you know, they have to age. They got to age 4 years. And not only that, but something to look forward to is our February 2020 leap year whiskey. And I've already had like certain companies from Kentucky call us and ask about that. I'm not going to list who they are, but
say it, man. Yeah. Flex on them.
No, man. No, I want it to come through what they're talking about. I don't want to jinx it.
Oh, I see.
But it's going to be some fun stuff. You know, we got some things in the works. Barley whiskey as well, you know.
I know Brandon's off air. Brandon, if you want a glass or something here, we got a little something special here. These old dusties aren't nothing to scoff at. Yeah, right?
463.
Yeah. So 463 was the night and day difference. Not that this was horrible. I like this so much better. And I'm going to get her to try something. Come on here. So you want something dusty first? You want to start?
What do you recommend?
So, you've had Amber, right? So that's, and I think this one might be, is this the peated or the Madeira?
What's the gold?
This is peated.
What's the gold bowling pin?
Hey guys, it's Brandon. Hi, Brandon. This is a Dusty Beam bottle. I believe it's from the 80s. It is.
It is a bowling pin, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bowling pin. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Beam's pin bottle.
Yeah, they used to put it, I want to say
it's pretty freaking rad.
Beam's pin bottle, yeah. And then we've had that on the show. And then this, I just opened in the trip with Jared Hempstead. We went to Balcones. If you look carefully, you'll see that. It's straight bourbon whiskey without the E, which traditionally, as you know, Americans, we spell it with the E. And I've said this on the show, too. I'll say it again. All of our regulations spell it without the E. It's completely trivial. So don't ever be that person to point it out and make a sneak about it because it's stupid, it's garbage, and you're wrong. this is also fantastic. So this is a little higher proof, but this is from the 60s. So do you want to?
Let's go with the high proof.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of weak.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, things are finally getting back to normal in Houston. For those watching, I know that starting this week, Adam Carolla will be in town at the Houston Improv. So get your tickets. That's next weekend, right? So, yeah, get your tickets to the Houston Improv. And then, of course, our friends Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen will be back in town at the end of the month, and they will be on the show. I'm having a couple of our – have you had our wine yet?
No.
Yeah, so HBS, Houston Bourbon Society –
saw the label.
Created our own
digging
brand.
The label.
Yeah, so we've got our own brand of wine. Awesome. Isn't that funny? Our first brand for the Houston Bourbon Society. It's not bourbon. we did a Italian Super Tuscan blend from Italy. The bottle should run sub $30. Pretty high end Super Tuscan Italian wine. They're sending a couple of bottles for us to try on air. I know Brian Callen's more of a wine guy.
I was going to say how. So if you chose a barrel, how many
it's not a barrel
nope
the it's blend? A blend
okay
yeah it's an Italian blend.
What's
so 3,000 bottles statewide 3, distribution. We'll have it got the whole thing picked that's up a, in one go.
That's a good
so,
amount.
Yeah, and it's if it doesn't sell, not my problem.
Well, I'll make sure to pick up at least a few.
Yeah, well, we're super excited. We wanted to invite specifically those who are into wine, so we had a couple sommeliers. Sean Beck helped taste it. Rodney Willis, who previously worked, or he still works for RNDC, got a bunch of wine guys together to taste it. Michael Canfield, his wife, Wade.
Yeah, I see Michael's posts all the time on.
Loves wine.
Bad wine reviews.
Loves wine. Big time. I'm going to set this one here because we definitely love it. Let's bring the next one on. We've got a couple more minutes.
Now, Brandon, I think you mentioned earlier, so you used to age up to 5 years on the single barrels, right? And now it's four-ish, just over?
And the reason so we had such terrible distribution from 2012 to
did you change distributors?
Yes.
Who was it?
It was Pioneer. And
yeah, they struggled with Smooth Ambler too.
Yeah. So, you know,
at the height of Smooth Ambler, when they were still had those crazy great MGP barrels and you couldn't get them anywhere. And when they changed distribution, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's all right.
The distributor called around like, we still have 60 cases of these double-digit age-stated MGP barrels. And NASA was like, yeah, we'll take them all.
Yeah, is that why they're still being found?
That's why they're still being found, because they pull stuff back when it's crazy, you know? This is 485. Sorry, go ahead. So you changed. Now you're with Favorite?
Oh, yeah, we're with Favorite Brands.
Love Favorite.
Oh, I do too, man. It's night and day. Oh. And, I mean, it's incredible. I couldn't, you know, Greg LaMantia Jr., you know, just like Austin Brown. Everything's been.
I know
just,
Austin, yeah.
I can't tell you how.
Shout out to Brandy.
Yeah. You know what? She's no longer with him.
Are you really?
Yeah, she just left this past Friday.
I got to call her.
There's a lot of things that, you know.
Oh, yeah?
I wish you'd.
I'm sure she's got a story.
Yeah, man. She's a hustler.
Yeah. Brandy Toomer. Love her. She's, you know, it's funny. I told the story to my wife. I've known her for years. Several meetings, several dinners.
Mm-hmm.
I know her.
Yeah.
At the Whiskey Social this year, everybody was setting up. And the day is always such a blur. I don't really process much. It's just always about putting out fires and making sure everybody's happy. This woman walks in and she's setting up her table and she's wearing a Barbados rum shirt, you know, supportive. Or I think it was Barbados. I didn't recognize her at all. It was Brandy. And she's like, Chris, like we've known each other for years. And it just went, I was so out of it. But she also wasn't feeling good that day. So just, she's fantastic. I've always loved Favorite Brands. They've done great by us. And we're actually talking to them about doing our rums through them.
Yeah, you know what? Let me just tell you something about, you know, anybody out there that's starting up, you know, some sort of spirit and looking for a distributor. There couldn't be a better one, a Texas home distributor than Favorite Brands.
They're in one other state, Arizona, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Let's be honest, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Arizona, New Mexico,
yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
But they're fantastic.
Yeah, their parent company's L&F, Budweiser, so, you know, it's a good company. Good people. They know what they're doing, and they're strong workers.
Mm. It's a lot of work trying to smell through all these and talk within the time frame. Like, drink, talk, drink, talk.
Very quick.
The nose on this Poison Girl pick is just ridiculously good.
That's bro, 514.
I'm hoarding it.
Hold on 1 second here.
I went by Poison.
This is the one we
girl
just did.
They had a stand on the street.
Yeah, that's
right on the sidewalk.
That's currently okay. We're drinking
485. I'm gonna pass.
And I do. I think it's actually similar to the
first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't like it as much.
Not agreed. As much as
great.
Yeah. 463 is.
We're on the same page. You want something else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. Listen, this isn't a real show. Nobody watches. Poison Girl Lone Elm pick. Yeah. 110 proof. Put a little fire in your chest. I mean, it's. Sweet.
It's
can really pick
really
out that
good.
Wheat.
I actually really like this one too. So.
Well, what's that one?
It's just a random one I found in Tulsa.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I do software development.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tulsa, I was up visiting a friend. So they have a huge warehouse store, kind of like a Specs called Park Hill.
Sure.
There, and dropped by there and they had Lone Elm at a pretty awesome price. So I was
the
like,
one
I'll take a couple.
Just poured? You know, it's crazy. Just maybe 2 years ago, there was a time in which you're driving through a small town on a family trip. You could stop into any little mom and pop liquor store and find something crazy, sit on the shelf. It's gone. That time's gone. I actually know
it's
a guy.
It's like locusts have gone through there and just taken what they want.
There's a guy locally, Robin McAdams, who he stays at his day job of outdoor sales so that he can travel. He just got back from California a couple months ago during the winter. He went to Chicago. In Chicago, there's a ton of liquor stores that have basements that have stuff that have been sitting down there for 50 years, right? Came back. I had some of the craziest Dusties that he threw some pimply-faced part-time employee at a liquor store $20 to give me 20 minutes in your basement. Here's $20. And, you know, we'll work something out with whatever I find. Comes back, you know, 3-4 bags of just crazy dusty decanters of old Wild Turkeys from the 80s.
Yeah.
And those bottles go for $500, $600, $800, depending on the year.
Well, I bet you that 20-year-old doesn't have a job anymore.
A lot of old mom and pops, they don't, what's Facebook? You know, they're still trying to figure out AOL. They still got those CDs from the grocery store back in 2000.
There's a place up north, up there by the Iron Root. It's called Driggs Liquor Store.
Sure.
And
one in front of Iron Root, because there's one right.
No,
in front
that's
of Iron
that was Fossil Creek. Driggs Liquor Store. It has it. I mean, it's nothing special, but you go in the back, and she's got first growths.
Really?
Yeah, oh my god!
You're a big wine guy.
I used to be, but you know, I don't really drink anymore. You know,
sure.
So, but I was impressed by her collection. I mean, just like she had, you know, she goes, "What year are you born?" You know, I told her, and she gave me a whole case of, you know, different.
What year?
76.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you know, she gave me 76. My wife 78, and you know, but she had like just, you know, BVs, cake breads from the 70s, all
sure.
sorts of crazy stuff. And I'm like, man, you could sell this and make a fortune. She had a whole bunch of Petrus. You know?
Yeah, they have no idea what they got.
Yeah. She just says that her old man used to collect it and he used to like to drink it. You know, she's like, I don't know what to do with it now. And I'm like, you need to get rid of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me take out a second mortgage real quick.
Yeah.
what are you thinking so far? I'm not sure. I don't think I found anything quite as good as the
463.
The 463. And the nose on the Poison Girl pick is really swooning.
This one's pretty hot for me.
Did either one of y'all get a chance to taste the Alliance blend that we did with Ranger Creek and?
Are you talking about
the Texas Whiskey Festival?
Texas Whiskey Festival. Okay, that's the second one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have not, and I went to the festival, didn't see it
yeah,
there.
Yeah, not either.
Okay.
I will tell you, I love what what's that handsome fella from that Texas distillery? You know who I'm talking about? That handsome fella with a beard.
Daniel, what is it?
Gavin.
Gavin.
Not Daniel. Gavin. Gavin Booth. Gavin.
I don't know Gavin's last name.
Yeah, I don't.
Real Ale Spirits.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Not from Gavin, that
actually. I don't know his last name.
Yeah, yeah. So I stood at his booth and he popped out. The one thing I love about these festivals, particularly the unlicensed festivals, is the everyone's working on something fun right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tabacaro's playing around with rye quite a bit. Gavin, I think it's Gavin, right? Or Davin. It's Davin. Davin Topol. That's his name. Sorry. God, I hate that. Davin busted out some... It was bourbon. It may have just been whiskey. But tasted like almost like key lime pie. It had a complete lemons... It was the most bizarre, but delicious, but tasty.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Corn aggressive profile you get from a lot of whiskeys. He just had something that just tasted like dessert in a bottle. And I was like, Jesus, man. It's so fun at these festivals when you find out what's underneath the table or in the bag.
You know, that's why you should become a Texas Trail member.
Great,
you know?
Great segue.
Yeah, you know, I'm just telling you.
Great,
you know,
segue.
You get all those perks, you know, by becoming a trailblazer.
Yeah, the TXWA has a membership you can join, and you pay the yearly fee. And basically, all your tours are waived at Texas distilleries. You get access to some crazy picks that the TXWA does, shirts. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, everything Spencer and his wife are doing are just off the charts, fantastic. And yeah, so check out TXWA.org and you can buy a Trailblazer membership.
Yeah, there's 19 grain to glass distilleries. You know, from Denison down to, you know, Corpus.
What's in Corpus?
No, to Galveston. That's what I meant to
Galveston.
Say. Yeah.
I haven't been. What's the distillery in Galveston?
Well, I guess I'm talking about MKT, which is right in Katy, right outside of
Galveston. Yeah. Well, no, Katy's. So if you're looking at Houston, Katy is at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, a little.
Galveston's at 6 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
A little west.
So, yeah. But MKT is. Let me
just say, I get so turned around when I get into Houston.
It's okay. You travel the state, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you handle any other states, or is there?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm for Five Points Distilling and Lone Elm Whiskey. There's two of us that work full time. There's our lead distiller, Logan, that lives on property. He's 26. I think he's the youngest distiller in Texas. And then there's me. I do everything else. I make all the deals. I go to all the states. I work all the markets. I do all the barrel picks.
Yeah, so I don't blame you that you misplaced Katy.
Yeah. And then you know what? Whenever I go out and do barrel picks with someone, I take it back and I bottle it. You know, you can't get any more craft than that. You know, I bring it to you and then I take it back. So.
All right, so this is the one from Oklahoma?
Yeah.
I can't say that state without thinking of that song. The boys from Oklahoma. What's next? Is this a roll their joints on? We don't talk about that stuff. It's decriminalizing the state. We did this one.
I did not say
it. It's not quite there. Still loving 463.
Yeah, I like the cherry on it, but it's a little more hot than the 463, I think.
And if at any point in time, Brandon, you'd like another pour to help alleviate your stress this week, just come on over.
These that poison girl is legit, especially on the nose.
So sweet maple syrup, right? Yes, yeah, pancakes.
That was our first barrel pick for Houston was Poison Girl.
We're trying to convince Balcones to do a whole new label for our honey thing because technically throwing whiskey into a barrel full of honey requires a new formula approval cola-wise. So why don't
FDA,
we just
all that
why don't we just stuff? Kill two birds in one stone and create like a honeybee HPS label then instead of a sticker – we do like an actual brand, yeah. Right? Wouldn't that be cool? A little LTO as they call them, limited time offering, special skewed item that yields maybe 150 bottles.
I got a question for you. So, I feel like our whiskey, you know, it has such a distinct smell to it.
Oh, you think so?
I do. I mean, just because I work with it so much, and I mean, like when I'm bottling or pulling samples, and I get it. I mean, soap and water doesn't always get it off, you know. And I'm thinking like, you know, we're drinking this, but. The reason I ask about the smell is, like, do you think that you could side-by-side tell which one is Lone Elm opposed to, like, let's say a Harbinger?
No.
I know they're night and day.
No.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, so there is a distinct Texas quality that you get with most Texas whiskeys. There's a stigma around Texas whiskey that I think when people think bourbon, they think Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So when they try Texas whiskey, they expect it to taste like Kentucky
bourbon.
Right,
yeah.
But you don't drink Texas wine or California wine and think it's to taste like
French
wine.
Sure.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Different wood. different terroir. That's where terroir comes into.
Yep.
There's something distinct that I'm not an expert by any means, but I can identify a Texas whiskey, but trying to identify the stark differences between distilleries blind, I think would be a really hard thing to nail down. And I would be surprised if most people who actually make the juice, as you said,
mm-hmm.
could do it blind too.
That would be real interested to see if...
Because I love, like, our Iron Root pick that we did, to me, tastes like Texas champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Or Texas cognac. It's so fragrant.
That's
and
delicious.
Light.
Imagine
and
that.
Delicious. It doesn't taste like Texas whiskey to me. It tastes like our version of cognac, but made from corn, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't think I'm there yet.
Yeah. The only reason I asked is because I was sitting – I did a podcast yesterday. I was sitting with the Katie Bourbon Mafia, and there was a few of them that were saying that they could –
Rob Clark's?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the one that said he could pick it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He did a blind right there in front of you?
No, he just told me he could.
We'll see.
Yeah, right.
I love Rob. I know Rob very well.
Yeah,
I think
he's a character.
It's very it's interesting because he's very, very knowledgeable, and then you get a little quirkiness out of him at times.
Oh, yeah, he's funny.
He's a good guy. It's something that I think would be – I don't want to say impossible,
mm-hmm.
but I would be extremely impressed if I could line up three random Texas distillers – I mentioned five in that article for Texas Monthly. I mentioned Andalusia. I mentioned you. I mentioned Iron Root. I mentioned Balcones. And I mentioned Whitmire's. If I were to take three of those, any three, blind, I would bet $100 that you could line up 100 people and
no one get it.
And not three. If you got more than one person who got it, I'd give you $100. But if one person got it, I would be impressed. But seeing that repeated, I would be shocked.
I mean, there's Psalms out there that can
we should.
Well, they can nail down the region, sub-region sometimes.
So master,
but,
go ahead.
And there's far more wineries out there than distilleries.
Yes,
so I
true.
Mean, maybe it's possible.
I'll tell you why.
But
I'll tell you why.
Just
no
spirits and the ethanol that comes off. I think it'll mask a lot for someone trying to do that. I think
master
it would be too tough.
When they're really trying to come up with the right blend, almost all of them proof down to 60 proof or lower. They really, really water it down to find an identifying quality.
Yeah.
Higher proof, you're going to blow your palate out.
Yep.
Right? I mean, we're doing it right now. We're in the process of blowing our palate out right now. But,
it is happening.
But just straight from the bottle with distillate, maturate, it's not the same as wine. That's 10%, 11%, 12%, 14% wine. you can really identify certain soil things. I mean, there's some, it's you're talking about
great
varietal, barely 20 proof.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to be able to identify some things. We're drinking almost 60 proof. I'm sorry, 120 proof. Yeah, I like.
Yeah, I don't think that the ethanol is the.
I think that you could you could probably pick out the Andalusia and the Lone Elm, but I don't know about the other ones. You know, I think
you could
hard.
Pick out Whitmire's. I think there might be an argument for some Whitmire's because I mean, he's got a bit of a cult following, but I do think there's a distinct closer to Kentucky profile that I get from some of those three, and tons of chocolate too. And that's the thing I think most people might pick up on is just a chocolate bomb. And when I think of Texas whiskey, I don't think of chocolate. So I think that might be a dead giveaway. Mm. But again, if I were to put three of those random five, someone were to identify all three, well, honestly, all you'd have to do is identify two and you'd know all three.
Right.
You might be able to nail Whitmire's. Mm. That's not to say his is better than everybody's. Just that
we should make it a challenge.
I'm down. Yeah. I'm down. We're not going to hire that fraud, what's his face, that paid $10,000 for. What's his name? Jim Murray. God.
What now?
I don't mean to start a stink, but there was a Best of Texas competition, and
they charged
quite a bit, which is, they got to pay for Jim Murray's flights, and he's a very hoity-toity, high-end guy.
Was that Bourbon and Bowties?
Yeah. Yeah, and Bourbon Bowties does phenomenal things for charity. I'm not shitting on them. I'm trashing. You may want to mark that, by the way. Okay, I said the word shit. No, I said it twice. Jim Murray is just expensive, and all these small Texas distillers, as much as I love them, they don't have massive budgets, and these people charging thousands and thousands just to participate in a tasting is.
It's 529. Sorry, 529 is the oaky one.
Yeah, yeah. 529. Yeah. I like that oak bomb, okay. And I set it aside just for us to finalize.
No, I agree. I was going to say.
Is this our last? Let's keep going. We're running out of segments here.
I know.
I'll tell you, Jim Murray. He did. I worked the Bourbon and Bowties. Not this year, but the one. I guess 2019, and he told us that he did. He thinks that we don't need to chill haze filter our small batch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we are getting closer in this realm of a knowledgeable consumer.
Mm-hmm.
That it's fine, you're good.
Yeah,
because there's people like myself and better people, bigger people who are advocating not to fret about it. It's an old world thing that we did because we felt like we needed to do it.
There's a lot of brands out there that feel like it's necessary to put that sticker on there. Non chill haze filter or something like that, and just I don't know why, but.
Yeah, I know a lot of people look for store picks.
Yeah,
specific.
Here's the thing: if it's good NCF, juice, it's good juice.
Yeah, I mean the Sagamore pick we did, we had to get special permission for them not to filter it, and there was literal barrel char in the bottle.
Yeah,
it's an awesome pick, by the way.
I loved it.
Yeah,
and I only heard two people not like it, and they're not rye drinkers, and all their posts are Buffalo Trace or oh, I get it, you fit in this lane, or old dusties. They're not.
I haven't been drinking mine because I want to preserve it because I don't have a second bottle.
So. I think there might be a couple bottles
some
left
out there.
In Katie, Dandy Liquor. Dandy Liquor, great shop.
I'll have to look it up.
And for those of you wondering why I would call Jim Murray a fraud, he crowned Crown Royal Rye Harvest as Whiskey of the Year. So you've lost all respect in my book. I wonder how much that cost.
Well, didn't he give another brand a whole? Their whole line, just award after award. What was it? Wasn't Sagamore. It was I can't remember what it was.
What'd you think on that one?
Is that the one we just did?
534, yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah? This is the next one, 551?
Maybe a tweener on it. I think the other two are ahead.
Well, it was Sazerac. I think didn't he give Sazerac or something like a massive amount of awards?
He did. I think he always does.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I had a long discussion on Monday. We went to, we went to Balcones, me, Wade, and my brother, Sean, and we talked about the idea of starting an award. We've talked about it for years, starting an awards program here in the Texas where the entry is just the product. And whatever the fee is to create the awards, and there's one gold, one silver, one bronze for each category. Whereas what we have now is a lot of these programs, you send us four bottles and a check for $1,000 and everyone gets a gold or a double gold or yeah. Like it's stupid.
You're paying for your award.
You're paying for your award. And again, going back to the chill filtration thing, chill filtration was something that we felt like we needed to do to sell more product. That is exactly what these awards programs are. Is that a lot of people feel like they need to do them. Don't get me wrong.
They need to have the award on the wall.
And they have an effect. Yeah. It's unquestionable. There are some fantastic whiskeys who have won fantastic awards. But there's also been a great example, Stillhouse. Stillhouse comes in a paint thinner can. It comes in a tin paint thinner can.
Yeah.
Double gold.
Seen it.
Double gold. You better mark this down because go fuck yourself. I mean, the things like that.
They got double gold. Are you kidding me?
Double gold, gold. I'm almost positive it was double gold. It could have just been gold.
From
they,
where?
They also, from the world, they got, what's the one?
San Francisco?
No. Denver? Maybe San Francisco. You can look it up. Just type in Stillhouse Awards.
That's interesting.
They won an award also for package design.
Oh.
Like, we need people in our society right now. There are things that we do that are part of our cultural zeitgeist that need to go away. Shots need to go away. All you're doing is enforcing a drunken night, a dangerous
night. Drink responsibly, but then people go out and do it.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call this responsible, right?
No.
We have three guys. Two of them are drinking 10 bottles on the table. But we're pacing it out. We're being careful.
I brought water.
Shots are inherently dangerous.
Yeah.
And they breed drunk driving, and they take time for your body to process. Yep. We don't need to put booze in mason jars anymore. I'm sorry, Michael Berry, stop doing it. It's a dumb idea. It's a dangerous idea. And then on top, I mean, the guy's got a cigar in his mouth, and it's in a mason jar, and there's an American flag on it. What are you doing?
America.
And then this paint thinner can thing. This is not what we want people to be doing. You can put it in a decanter, a fancy, pretty decanter. Don't put it in a paint thinner can with a shot glass on top. And I'm being awfully judgmental this episode. I'm not usually like this.
Well, maybe with their double gold, they'll change their package.
Yeah. We thought about, back to what I was saying, starting an award ceremony in which we limit it to one, but also don't charge out. It's not a business. Let's not make money off it.
Right.
If we've got three awards per category, three trophies, maybe a ribbon for the bronze, if you split that between all the entries, okay, so send me two bottles of your product. We'll have a panel taste it that doesn't get paid for it. They're volunteers. And your entry fee is $5 a distillery just to pay for the trophy. Then you've got a completely credible. In fact, I'm sorry, someone else pointed out even better, because you could criticize that by sending the product in for free, it's kind of a bribe. So the entry fee is just enough to go out and buy the bottles at retail. So we'll buy your product. So the entry fee is $100. That's two bottles of your product and enough to pay for an award if you win it.
Probably wrap that into the social.
That's where the idea started, because that's
kind of how the Great American Beer Festival already operates. They have gold, medal, bronze for all the different categories, but then it's also like an event as well for people to go and taste beer from hundreds of breweries from around the United States.
We've talked about doing it, and if there's someone locally that we all know that's interested in becoming a part of the Whiskey Social family permanently, if we branch out to two events next year, a whiskey event in the fall, in the spring, like we always do, and a non-whiskey event in the fall, like agave, mezcal, sotols.
Yeah.
We're planning on having quite the eventful 2021. We may incorporate that to where an actual award is given, because Whiskeys of the World, I love their event, but their event has done an award ceremony that people have actually created neck hang tags of their award that they won. I mean, so there stands to reason that it could be successful, and we can do it in a way that's not breaking the bank, but also not questionably run, you know?
I can't afford Whiskeys of the World anymore. Seriously. Well, I really can't, and I'm not talking bad about them, but as soon as they merged, I'm sorry. I just don't – I mean, as a craft distillery, we don't have that kind of money to put forward.
I got the email as well about their merge.
Yeah,
but here's the thing: they've been merged.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same parent company.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the backstory. And don't get me wrong, I love Doug.
I do too.
But I know that Doug has a headache, a bit of a headache with his parent company that they're dealing with. But essentially, Whiskeys of the World and the Whiskey Extravaganza were two different events. But both events are struggling to fit in with the changing times. And so they merged both events. They've changed up a few cities. And the pricing is... I'm not going to put their business out there, but it's quite expensive for an event with, you know, 500 people. And so, again, the events run well. I love the event, but I understand why some people are struggling to pay it. And we struggle as the Whiskey Social just to pay for the event. So what the event cost, we try to split it amongst the vendors. None of that money goes into my pocket, our pockets. We have a whole board of people. And it's still expensive every year. And if you get 200 new people, like, as the event grows, the inherent expense from feeding those 200 people jumps significantly, because you're spending $35, $40 a head per person in food. And the tickets, even early bird, are $60.
And water.
Isn't there a rumor going around that it might have a different location because it was so big?
We were, as they say, asses to elbows. This mm-hmm. year, we're too cramped. We either have to change the venue for next year, or we have to utilize more of the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're considering doing is utilizing more of the grounds. Every year, you have a couple issues that need to be fixed. 3 years ago, our issue was the fact that we were forced, because of Whiskeys of the World, we were forced to do it in July.
Yeah.
And so it was too hot. It was miserably hot. It was awfully hot. Last year, we had an issue. We needed more food and more water. And check-in was a bit crazy. So
food? I guess I ate earlier. I didn't.
Maybe you didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
It's not like an overwhelming issue. It's like, that's the feedback we hear when we ask for feedback.
Probably at the end of the night when someone hasn't eaten and they're looking.
Sure. And we have a food truck there that we incorporate to allow that.
That's true, too,
yeah. So this year we fixed check-in. It was super, super fast. Super fast check-in. But our new problems this year were the fact that the bathrooms got overwhelmed. We doubled the amount of water. We had 1,600 people. We bought 4,500 bottles of water. There was more water than people's bladders could hold. Therefore, and Brandon, did you come this year?
No. Well, I came to
He came to the one before.
Yeah.
This year, it was too cramped, and especially during Corona, right? Like, yeah. I mean, the whole thing was, it was right before it. I found these beautiful luxury trailers, bathroom trailers you can rent. I mean, they're like air conditioned, mm-hmm. full stalls, bathroom attendants, beautiful, beautiful luxury trailers.
I've seen those at events. They're nice.
They're expensive, but we can buy two of those. So in the main ballroom, in the middle, in the back against the wall, there's a double doors.
Mm-hmm.
And there's usually a table there. We'll pull that table out, put the luxury bathroom trailers just outside those doors. Now the bathroom lines are outside, and there shouldn't be, because now you're bringing in 20 more stalls, 20 more toilets, and urinals. And then on the back side of the building, never been utilized, is another pavement, another beautiful area that we could put a luxury tent out on and move all the food out there. So now the venue has opened up. Even if we kept it the exact same, just by expanding outside of the event, throwing up some barriers, put some security outside to where all of the people still funnel into the front door, we can move that open. We tried real
hard. So
with
the food not going into the Pappy Room,
right?
That would open up for overflow too, for
people just to go sit down and chill out. That's another 2,000 square feet.
Chill out.
Yeah. And we can actually reduce the number of tables in the Texas Room to give you guys more elbow room too. We looked. The only venue that was really viable was the Hilton Marriott Marquis. Or no, that's two different hotels. The Marriott Marquis, which is downtown with the Texas Pool.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful venue, literally at the dead center of Houston. I tell you, and if anyone on the show works at that hotel, please get them to get their shit together. Mark that time. I've been after them for months trying to get a quote.
Yeah.
Just a quote for our 2021 event. And... literally, before coronavirus, I went up there. We had a meeting in person. It took them 6 weeks to get back to me after I continually followed up via email, tried calling, and went up for a meeting, gave them all the details on the event. be significantly more expensive. Just to have it at the Marriott Marquis for the same size would have been $40,000 more expensive. So we need to make sure we can fit enough people, we can spread people out, and of course, the safest thing, they can stay there and go up to their hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the TPSA event a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
It was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, we'll do it there. Couldn't get back to me. I got an email from them, from someone else within the organization a week ago that was like, hey, we're just following up on this. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I'm waiting on a quote from you. It's been weeks. And they were like, oh, we're really sorry. We'll get back to you. Week later, nothing. Yesterday, literally, it may have been yesterday or the day before, I get an email saying, hey, just following up. I'm like, all right, dude, look. I've been trying to hear back from you for a month. You guys have not gotten back to me. I really wanted to be there because of where it's located and the fact that people don't have to drive home. And they just wouldn't get back to me. And so we will be at the Citadel again one more year, but we're going to reduce the number of people until we can figure out what we can do outside,
mm-hmm.
meaning how many tents can we put up? Can we take over the grounds like a rodeo or that sort of thing?
And you're obviously not taking on new vendors, right?
Well, I mean, we have a list of vendors that we send it all out to, and it's first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably spread the vendors out. But right now, we're not looking to necessarily take on more vendors, but really just give everyone a little bit more room. From what I heard from the vendors, they were happy. Every year, I think people are getting used to these types of events, so there's less drunken behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, there's always something new we can work on as it continues to grow. So I sound like a real catty bitch this episode. All right. So we didn't make it through all the samples.
Yeah, we.
No,
but
left.
Yeah,
I don't know what you thought of that one.
Let me. I don't remember if that's what was in this glass, but I'm gonna taste it again right now.
And then, I actually like this one.
Trying to be conservative. That
one was,
brother. Hey, it's all good, man.
You want something else there, Brandon? There's plenty here, buddy.
I just want the pick, like whatever the final thing you land on is. That's what I want.
Sure.
That's what I want to end on.
551's pretty good. It was kind of a vegetal, still a fresh cut oak note there that like still live and wet.
Still green.
Yeah. I like it. I think it goes in the running. We agree. Yeah, we'll put it here. Wouldn't it be great if we
like this one too? It's a little hot.
If we finish this episode without letting the viewers know what we picked. All right, guys, we're out of time. It's the last sample. Sorry.
We'll have to do like a 2-second.
I'll do it in the intro. No, that'll be spoiler alert.
It's a very Coen Brothers way of ending your movie.
Sure.
Thinking about the Miller High Life 1-second commercial.
High Life.
just put the number out there.
Very light. That's definitely in the running. 587 is fantastic. Oof. All right. Is that it?
That is it.
All right. Let's hurry up and nail this down. We got four. Let's start from the top. I'm coming back to 463.
All right. I need to.
I wonder how entertaining this is. Listen to us just drink and talk shit about literally every other festival and hotel in Houston. No, I when I said that when I said that they were struggling, that wasn't me talking trash. That's why they merged. It's not a.
Hey, the words of encouragement. Yeah. You know, we all need it here and there, and we all.
There are many whiskey festivals that try to happen in Texas every year, and I only talk about the ones that are worth going to. There have been some that I've had to basically put out there and speak out against because they don't have a location, but they'll start selling tickets on Eventbrite.
Mm.
And they'll use stock photos, and I will tell you that this
I think
is
you
just,
can actually just smell the wheat, like
in the
straight
glass.
Up in the glass.
I tell you right now, 463 is really leaning heavy on me.
I wish we had a festival like HBS and HWS and in Dallas.
We're working on it. So we actually bought the domains and have been planning since the very beginning to do four nights. a year, four mm-hmm. nights a year. Dallas Whiskey Social, Austin Whiskey Social, and Houston Whiskey Social, and San Antonio last. Mm-hmm. Austin will probably get skipped over, or it'll be just outside of Austin because did you go to the
Whiskeys of the World?
Yeah, last year and have that debacle with the food department that came
and the
out.
And the hand sanitizing station.
Yeah, that was just complete was garbage. Yeah. Yeah, and then the tables were supposed to buy their own permits for their table to be there.
Right.
That's just not feasible or functional for you guys. So mm-hmm. we will not be doing that. We may do what Texas Whiskey Festival does and do it just outside of the city limits. But that we bought those domains 5 years ago. We've always planned on doing it, but it's like starting over new is a bit scary. If we can get two events, and we wanted to work on this one, make sure mm-hmm. it was functioning well. And we're not perfect. We still need to work on some things. But if we can get two events next year and get that up and running, then we can safely, conservatively incorporate a second city, which would be really great. And we would cap it at probably 300-400 people. Mm-hmm. And we just want to be able to do it.
First year?
Yeah, yeah. So we the first couple of years of the social, we lost our shirts. Almost, I mean, my wife, God bless her, we had two new kids. And those two new kids back-to-back plus trying to start a business off the ground was very difficult for her. So my wife is a saint. Mm-hmm. But we lost, I kid you not, tens of thousands of dollars the first couple of years. And we almost was like, it's just not feasible. Finally figured it out, got it working, built a following. And then last year for the social, we didn't spend a dollar on marketing.
Wow.
And every year that's a big expense is marketing. Mm-hmm. And so if we can keep it going and make it functional and support you guys and support these brands without having to spend any money on advertising and limit the risk of trying a new city, we're on board. I would love to do it. Dallas is next.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Love Dallas. I give Dallas some shit on the show. May want to mark that. I got to make sure he marks it. Dallas is the most easy to work with. They've got a good audience there. I mean, someone say whiskey. The Dallas DFW Whiskey Club. There's a couple of fantastic whiskey clubs up there that would be the right audience, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of whiskey clubs up there. They've done our distilleries right. You know, North Texas.
Oh, yeah?
Everywhere.
463.
Yeah, that was the rest of 463. Ooh, there's a great tobacco note on the back of that.
That's
real spicy.
That one's fantastic.
Yeah, I got to tell you, without even tasting the other ones, I don't know where I'm leaning. I'm gonna give it a fair shot here. Now this is good. This is actually really good, and may be worthy of its own pick altogether. Definitely a little hotter. Definitely a little bolder. The proof, though. But it's got tons of that cherry, that medicinal.
I don't know if it's just building up for me or not. I usually don't have a problem with heat. I've acclimated myself to the.
That's what they did yesterday.
I've acclimated myself to the higher proof.
529 is brilliant. Cough syrup, but like in that sweet mm-hmm. cherry.
Fantastic. You got cherry.
The viscosity is fantastic. Crazy. Proof is good. I like the finish on 463. We'll run. Do you have a preference in who we run these through? I'll probably run them through Total Wine or Specs.
That's fine.
Has Specs done these yet?
Specs has done 5 barrel picks with me.
Yeah?
Yeah. They send people out to the distillery to do them.
So I know we're trying to hurry, but while we're tasting these last two, you mentioned something about
a note.
Like a Texas profile, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I call it
And
like,
I think it does exist because I...
Oh, yeah.
Most Texas whiskeys, I don't know if it's the heat.
I always say
effect
benzene
on the barrel, but I can taste it in almost every Texas whiskey I try, except for Whitmire's. Like you said, it's kind of its own thing.
I always say benzene, although benzene's not fit for human consumption, so I wouldn't know what it tasted like because it would kill me. But there is this particularly petrol, hay, farm. Reminds me of some leather boots and some Dirk Bentley. You know, just like that classic country rodeo note.
That, I mean.
But we're going to take two of these for sure. And I'll run them through Specs probably. Oh, our friend LaShawn.
That would work out well for us if you did that through Specs.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just because.
We need to talk about branding, though.
Yeah.
Got to put something on there.
If you want to send me that, I'll do gold stickers, whatever you want to do.
Something on it. Yeah. Just because that'll make specs happy. It'll separate everything in the market.
5.51.
Yeah. Whatever you need.
I think those two are better than 5.51.
Yeah, and 5.87 is hot. It's got that Texas profile we're talking about. All right. Are we in agreement?
No, I think so. I mean, I haven't retasted 5.87. I think I noted it was pretty hot my first try.
It seems like a fast barrel pick, but an hour is pretty standard. We just got to Gavin a little bit. Now, that one is that classic profile, that hay I'm talking about. That last one, 5.87.
It's a little too hot.
5.87, a little too hot, a little high proof. But yeah, I'm happy with it. Boy, these glasses got wrecked. That's what I love about Lone Elm.
Yeah,
that's what I love about Lone Elm. This is what their whiskey does to your glass. Just imagine what it does to your insides. Just beautiful, delicious, fantastic. And the smell.
It could be a candle, I'm telling you.
It's just,
it's that wheat.
Oh, that smell is just, I wish, I know I make a lot of noises on the show, but the smell of this empty glass, smell this right here. Oh, God, it smells like heaven. This class smells brilliant. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show today. I know we're out of time. Got to get an intro in here somehow. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it. I know you're a busy man. Both Brandons. Two Brandons. Yeah. Brandon, thank you so much. Brandon Choate, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. It was
absolutely
awesome.
Thank you.
Quad,
yeah.
I know I'd fist bump you, but air fist bump. Thanks so much for making time. I know you're a busy man.
Thank you very much for having me. This is it's an awesome experience.
It's fun.
Oh, I was very nervous. So
really,
I hope I hope I performed well.
It's recorded, so we can cut out anything you're nervous about. Daryl Bowman, fantastic personality. Fun group. Bad Wine Reviews on Facebook. Check it out. He's got an app coming out called Corked. I helped create that name. And Daryl Bowman's fantastic, but when he came on, he was nervous. And he
introverted.
He made a joke that he no one laughed on, and we kind of went over our heads. And for 2 days, he was like, "Man, can you just cut it out. Can you just cut that part out." He was so nervous about the whole exchange. I'm like, "Daryl, you're fine. Like, everybody loves Daryl Bowman."
It's actually funny you mentioned that earlier in the show. I mentioned Bad Wine Reviews. Michael Canfield posts a lot of his wine that he's drinking, which he has an awesome collection. Apparently, I've never met him, but.
Oh, he lives in Bel Air.
Yeah, the stuff that he posts is just incredible. So I was hoping it was okay that I mentioned.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
Bad Wine Reviews.
So. Yeah, well, I don't know why anybody would care. Like, Bad Wine Reviews is fantastic. I know.
Some people are like, "Oh, I want my show to be."
No.
Thankfully, you're not that. That's
Bad Wine Reviews.
I know a lot of people like that.
That's why we love you, Chris.
A lot of distilleries are like that. Where I wore a Glenfiddich sweater to Four Roses. And a lot of industry folks here locally were talking trash about it. Like, can you believe he wore that to another distillery? And I was like, all right, guys, like, if Four Roses.
Don't you know the rule? You never wear the shirt of the band you're going to see. Oh, sorry.
You never wear the shirt of the band you're going to see?
You're going to see, yeah. You always wear a different shirt.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big faux pas.
Yeah. To wear, like, if I'm going to see Chevelle, I wouldn't wear a Chevelle shirt.
Yeah, well, you should wear some other hard rock.
If you're going to see Chevelle, you're going to get ripped for a different reason. But
if you're going to get ripped for if you're going to see Chevelle, it's 2005.
But that's that's a thing, right? You don't wear the shirt of the band you're going to see.
That's it. Unless you buy the shirt there.
Well, in that case, as we wrap this up,
shit,
we're on Whiskey Neats, and there's Whiskey Pete.
I like it.
Big faux pas. You can get the shirt at whiskeymerch.com. Whiskeymerch.com. That's whiskey with the E. And all proceeds go to charity. So cheers, guys. Thanks so much for coming. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Step
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.